Child, touch my soul with your cries, and the music will know what we found. I hear a hundred goodbyes, but today I hear only one sound. The moment we're living is now.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. And because we are a little tight on time, I'm going to skip a long introduction, but just tell you that Wayne is an expert on men's issues, I should say. And he is the founder of BetterMenCoaching.com, which is a fabulous website. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Hello, Bruce. Let's get to it.
We're kind of just having a shooting from the hip show today. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm writing an article right now for a local magazine about midlife crisis, and so why don't we talk about that?
All right. So how are you doing in your midlife crisis?
I've been very successful with it, and I've had a great time, and I've learned a lot, and that's what motivated me to write the article. I feel like our culture, we tend to categorize and minimize people, you know, for expediency's sake.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean.
Just in terms of midlife crisis, it's like a catch-all phrase, and men can be dismissed for what seems to be sort of foolish behavior.
Right? Yes.
But there's always more to it than the behavior, and there's something going on, and what's going on? And most men may not have any idea what's going on for them. They're wanting something. Maybe they know a piece of the picture, but they don't really know the whole picture. And they certainly don't know the options available to them to sort of completely figure it out so that they can be the men they want to be in the relationships they're still in, instead of maybe blowing that relationship up because they're frustrated or dissatisfied for one reason or another.
Do you think this whole idea of midlife crisis is more of a male issue, or are you just focusing on men?
Well, I know about men. That's my perspective. And do women go through changes? Well, constantly, right? We all go through changes. But this midlife crisis is usually associated with men, right?
I'm asking. I'm not trying to be...
Yeah.
I had actually never thought about it vis-a-vis women. I mean, we know about women going through, in quotes, the change. But that's much more of a physical thing, though it does have emotional consequences, having lived with a woman who's been in and through and doing the change for as long as I've known her. It's a big deal. But it's not the same as what I think you're talking about.
Well, I think for a lot of men, you know, who have gotten to a point where they've built a career or business and they've raised a family and they're reevaluating, and a lot of them tend to focus in on their regrets and what they did, their failures. And so what's the meaning of the second half of my life? What's my purpose? And they don't often or get to that point very quickly. In the meantime, they just want to have some fun, which is part of the process, too, discovering for the first time what joy is something that a lot of men need to do. And they're really, you know, it's not something that's talked about much. So men are, like in many other ways, men are on their own to figure it out. And my whole purpose for being here is to say that, well, if you just get together with other men, you can get some wisdom and perspective on what you're going through, because the other men are also going through that same thing.
Or will be at some point or another.
Or will be.
And what's been so good about the men's work that I've done with you is that we literally have multi-generations of men, men old enough to be grandparents to the younger men in the same group. So the value of the wisdom of the men, as you often would say those words, is incalculable. You know, it's interesting. I bought myself for the first time in 20 years a sports car recently. And everybody that's seen me in the car has made the joke about, you know, oh, it's your midlife crisis. And I don't look at it as that at all. I look at it as, you know something? I had parent cars for a long time, and I have earned the right to have this fun car. And I don't see it as anything negative, but society does have a tendency to put that sort of label in a situation like that. It's bringing me incredible joy. Every time I struggle in and out of it because it's low to the ground, and getting out of it is especially hard. My wife makes a joke about it for herself. Oh, I hate getting out of this car. But I have so much fun in it. So it is about fun. I don't look at it as a negative. I just look at it as a blessing that I'm in a position I could get a car like this to have some fun with.
Well, it's a very individual thing. For some guys, they may buy a car that they can't afford.
Ah, and then it's, yes.
Right.
Okay.
And so all these things are phases. I mean, everything we do is a phase. The question is there a greater meaning to it? And is there something that we can learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about going to music festivals and all that with the kids, and I've been criticized. I've seen the glares from these young people, like, gross. Was your grandpa here, you know?
right.
You can see it, but it's like, this is fun, and I'll do this as long as I want. Now, what's it mean? I've known that this is sort of rediscovering my youth, maybe doing some things I didn't even have a chance to do when I was younger because I had to get a job and, you know, life was sort of tough in my 20s that way. And so we all have our stories, but I think that most men are not very in tune with what's going on for them. And for those guys, it would sure help to be able to talk about what's going on because it might keep them from making some choices that could just cause damage and cause them to lose what's dear to them.
Yes. And that includes, obviously, the guy who, you know, goes and fools around with a young girl or chooses to leave a long-standing, largely good marriage just to have some fun and jeopardize something really, really valuable. And I would expect a great percentage of men that do that regret it later on.
Yes. The grass is not greener, but they are searching for something.
Right.
And that's what the work is about, whatever form that work takes. And there's nothing wrong with men who are feeling this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way they act it out can be...
Well, one of the great values of being part of a men's group, and one of the things that you used to do, I don't know if you still do, when I began, and I think literally your first group, is one of the agreements we all made is before we did anything big, we brought it to the men. So if we got together once a week, and let's say it was a Monday, and on Thursday I had this notion I'm going to go to Vegas and hire a prostitute, you know, because or some horrible thing like that. If I brought it to the men the following Monday, not only would I probably feel different thinking about it for 4 days and realizing what an idiot I was to even think that, but the men would give me proper guidance. And
right.
So that was one of the great things that we did during the 10 years I was in one of your groups.
Yep, before making any major decisions.
Talk to a man, a man that you trust.
Absolutely.
And ideally one that has done the work with you, as you call it. We are out of time, Wayne. Quickly tell our audience where they can find you.
I'm having my midlife crisis in Southern California, and you can find me at bettermencoaching.com.
As usual, a pleasure. I hope you'll send me a link to that article if you post it on your own website, because I would like to see it. And
yes,
thank you again for contributing to our show, Wayne.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bye-bye.
About a thing called love. But when I see a mother's tenderness as she holds her young close to her breast, then I thank God this world's been blessed with a thing called love.